So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 9. We continue our series in John's Gospel. And the heading in my Bible is "A Man Born Blind Receives Sight." So John chapter 9, and reading from verse 1. "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' He said, 'I am he.' Therefore they said to him, 'How were your eyes opened?' He answered and said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I do not know.' They brought him, who formerly was blind, to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes, and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, 'He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see.' Therefore some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?' And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, 'What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes?' He said, 'He is a prophet.' But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, 'Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?' His parents answered them and said, 'We know that he is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself.' His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, 'He is of age, ask him.' So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner.' He answered and said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see.' Then they said to him again, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered them, 'I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?' Then they reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he is from.' The man answered and said to them, 'Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.' They answered and said to him, 'You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us?' And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, 'Do you believe in the Son of God?' He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Well, before we enter into John chapter 9, it would be good to summarize what we've learnt so far in John chapter 5 to 8. And I've got three headings that'll help us to remind ourselves on what material we've covered. The first is what we have discovered about Jesus. We have learnt that Jesus is from God, that Jesus is equal to God, and he is the one who provides God's rescue. And Jesus is radically different from what the Jews expected. He has been described as the Son of Man who has authority to execute judgment, chapter 5. He gives flesh and blood for people to drink, spiritually speaking, chapter 6. He's also described as the Christ, the Son of God, and the eternal I Am. Secondly, how the Jews responded to this rescuer in chapters 5 to 8. The response of the Jewish people was hostile. Jesus exposed the true state of their hearts and that they were really children of the devil. Although the Jews were rebels in need of rescuing, they rejected Jesus. And it emerged in these chapters that God's chosen historic people were unable to accept Jesus because they didn't belong to God. John makes it clear in his writing that the Jews' unbelief is a reflection of their sin and not a reflection of Jesus' false teaching. And John makes it clear that Jesus is teaching the truth. The third heading is, how then will anyone see? Well, through chapters 5 to 8, we find a number of answers to these questions. In chapter 5, verses 46, people will see or recognize Jesus if they listen to Moses and therefore to God. People will see if they listen to the Father and learn from him, chapter 6, verses 45. And people will see if they choose to do God's will, chapter 7, verses 17. And people will see if they hold on to the words of Jesus, chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. However, even though the Jews said that they believed, they showed very little promise in these areas. So the question is, how will anyone be able to see? And the answer to that question is found in chapter 9 and chapter 10. And in a nutshell, the self-sufficient people who consider themselves healthy and reject the Messiah will be blind forever. However, those who really believe in Jesus as the Messiah, to them and only them will be given the ability of spiritual sight. They can see. So before we come to the passage in John chapter 9, we need some Old Testament background about blindness, because blindness in the Old Testament is more than just a physical thing. It's used as a metaphor to illustrate total spiritual failure. And in the book of Isaiah, blindness is a major theme. First of all, Isaiah teaches that blindness is a sign of refusing to see and believe in God. I want to quote from Isaiah 42, verses 18 to 20. This is what God says through Isaiah. "Listen, you who are deaf, look and see, you blind. Who is as blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger? Who is as blind as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and recognize what is right, but refuse to act on it. You hear with your ears, but you don't really listen." So, first thing the Old Testament teaches us, that blindness is a sign of refusing to see and believe in God. Secondly, in the Old Testament, God in his judgment spiritually blinded those people who rebelled. That's Isaiah chapter 6, and verses 9 to 10. When God called Isaiah, he said some quite challenging words, really. He said, yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, not hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. So God in his judgment spiritually blinds those peoples who rebel. And then thirdly in Isaiah we discover that the problem of spiritual blindness will be solved when the Messiah comes to rescue them. In other words, this is the specific ministry of Jesus. And it says in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 6, this is hope for restoration as Isaiah speaks into the heart of the nation of Israel. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water in the wastelands. So, blindness in the Old Testament gives us these three things: a sign of refusing to believe in God, a sign of God's judgment, and the fact that when the Messiah comes, he will open the eyes of the blind people. So with that in mind, we come to John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, we're going to divide the chapter into three sections. The first section is verses 1 to 7, where we have the healing of the blind man. Secondly, we have in verses 8 to 38, we have the different responses to the healing. And then thirdly, in verses 35 to 41, we have an interview between Jesus and the blind man and the Pharisees. So let's first look at the healing of the blind man, verses 1 to 7. This is the only person that we hear about in the Gospels that was afflicted from his birth. Therefore, he must have been a very well-known character because the disciples knew all about him. So everybody knew this man who was born blind. And when the disciples saw this blind man, they used it as an opportunity to present Jesus with a problem. And the problem was, they asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now that may sound a strange question for us, but to Jewish people it was perfectly natural, because the Jews of that day believed that suffering of any sort was connected to sin. In fact, they believed that a person could sin while being in the womb of a mother. If a woman was worshipping at a pagan temple while she was pregnant, the baby inside her was considered to be participating in the sin. Well, Jesus immediately rejects both of their possible ideas why the man was born blind. Jesus replied that neither this man nor his parents sinned. It was in order to bring about neither this man nor his parents sinned in order to bring about the man's blindness. Jesus said that the man's blindness happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. So what was the work of God that was going to be displayed in his life? Well, we know from the prophet Isaiah that when the Messiah comes, that he will open the eyes of the blind. In Isaiah 29 and verses 18, it says these words. 29 and 18, it says, in that day, the deaf will hear words read from a book, and the blind will see through the gloom and darkness. So this was a fulfillment of prophecy, that Jesus was going to open the eyes of blind people. So here is proof that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus, as the light of the world, gives sight to the spiritually blind. Now the Bible teaches very clearly that we're all born with spiritual blindness. We all need to come to Jesus, the light of the world. And the blind man was a perfect illustration of the fact that we need not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. It was wonderful that the man was physically healed and he could see for the first time, But it's much more wonderful if we can see our sin and ask Jesus for spiritual healing. When I was a pastor in London, we had a lady who ran our worship group, and she was blind from birth. She wasn't blind at birth, but when she was born due to problems in the first few years of her life, she went blind. And when she became a Christian, she realized that God had saved her from seeing all the bad things in the world. And she said to me once that the first person that I'm going to see is Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That she recognized that even though she was blind from birth and she's never been able to see anything, the first person that she will see is Jesus. And she's been saved from all the awful things that we have to witness in this world. Wonder, what a wonderful way to look at blindness when you're a Christian. And I guess it's the same for deaf people. The first voice that they will hear is the voice of Jesus. So we see that the man who was born blind was physically healed, and God's glory was demonstrated in the life of this blind man. The physical sight of the man born blind eventually led to his spiritual sight. That isn't always the case. God can perform a miracle in someone's life, and then eventually they don't become a Christian. They don't recognize Jesus. So it doesn't always flow, but in this case, it was positive. Then we come to verses 8 to 38, and we see the different responses to the healing of the man born blind. And we have four interviews in this section that takes place in verses 8 to 38. Firstly, we have an interview with the blind man's neighbors. Giving sight to the blind was only something that God could do. Therefore, it is important that they identify the person and that the person was revealed. And the man proved to his neighbors that he was the same man born blind and he could now see. And he told them the story of how Jesus had put mud on his eyes and spat into it and told him to go in the wash in the pool Siloam, and then he would see. Now, it's important at this stage that we understand that the man who was healed only described Jesus as the man they call Jesus. Now, this man couldn't see, obviously, didn't know really who Jesus was, but he was the man that they called Jesus. We will discover later in verse 38 that this man acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God and believed. But at this stage, he was blind from birth and he could now see, and the person that did it was the man that they called Jesus. And then secondly, in verses 13 to 17, is the interview with the blind man and the Pharisees. And we discover that the man was healed on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees were divided about who Jesus was. Some of them thought Jesus was a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath, and others acknowledged that he must be from God, otherwise he couldn't do such miracles. They both turned to the blind man who had been healed and asked for his opinion. He replied that Jesus is a prophet. The blind man now has moved from his position, from the man they call Jesus, to Jesus being a prophet. He's beginning to see a little clearer, and spiritually speaking, he's coming towards the truth. However, the Jews still didn't believe who Jesus was. And then in verses 18 to 23 is the third interview between the parents and the Jewish leaders. Now, the Jewish leaders sent for the parents of the man born blind, and they confirmed that he was indeed born blind. However, they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, afraid of being put out of the synagogue, so they wouldn't commit themselves to give an opinion on the identity of Jesus. They passed on the responsibility to their son. Despite all the evidence, the Jewish leaders were still hostile towards Jesus. They'd made up their minds. In spite of the evidence, they grew more and more hostile towards Jesus. And now they were being hostile to the man born blind. Had a thought about that, and it reminds me of these very intelligent people who believe all the historical evidence of our history books in the past, but they refuse to believe in the evidence recorded in the Bible, which has more documentary evidence than anything in history for New Testament times. The way in which our history is authenticated will depend on the number of original writings
that can be found for that period. We have 500 original Greek manuscripts for the life of Jesus. We only have 20 copies of a book that records history from 59 BC to AD 70. Therefore, the New Testament is the most accurate historical record that we have for this period in history. However, in spite of the evidence, people do not believe the Bible today. Now, the human heart has not changed, but Jesus can change the human heart if we will believe in him. Jesus is able to do the impossible. Jesus is able to change people's hearts if they believe in him. If they don't believe in him, he's able to harden their hearts and blind their spiritual eyes. So Jesus is able to do a miracle if we believe in him. And we have the historical evidence here before us. This is not just his story, it's a history book. It actually happened in history. And the fourth interview was the second interview between the man born blind and the Pharisees, verses 24 to 34. In this final interview, the man born blind decided to stand up for Jesus and challenge the Jewish leaders. He did this on the basis of what happened to him and on the basis of what little he knew about God through listening in the temple. He couldn't read. He must have picked up a lot of information from other people. Sadly, the Pharisees were false shepherds looking after their own interests. However, the man born blind had more spiritual insight than these intelligent people who professed to know God and support Moses. And the answer for the Pharisees was to throw the man out of the synagogue and accuse him of being steeped in sin at birth, cutting across what Jesus said. So in spite of what Jesus did, the miracle, in spite of who Jesus was, they didn't change their mind. They hardened their hearts and became more blind. And then thirdly, we have an interview between Jesus and the man born blind and the Pharisees, verses 35 to 41. In this final interview, we see why the Pharisees remain blind and why the man born blind is set free to both believe and also to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus now appears on the scene, having left the man born blind to look after himself for a few days. And when Jesus speaks to the man and reveals that he is in fact the Son of Man, another name for the Son of God, the man believes. Not only did he believe, but he worshipped Jesus. The man has been thoroughly tested about his understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done for him. And Jesus says in verse 39 that he's come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. So Jesus explains what he means in verses 41. Jesus says that those people who think that they have no sins and don't need a savior to rescue them will remain in their sin. However, those who admit their guilt and trust in Jesus as their own personal savior will be set free to see Jesus for who he really is, the Son of God. They will receive spiritual sight. The Pharisees didn't believe and they remain blind. And the light of the world brings a rescue and fulfills the prophecy in Isaiah 42. So in other words, if you want to be rescued by Jesus, you have to believe in Jesus. If you reject Jesus, you'll not see your sin and you'll remain blind. So you have to take that step of faith and you have to believe in Jesus, and then Jesus will save you and he will give you spiritual sight, and then you'll be able to see what you couldn't see before. Maybe quite a challenge if you're not a Christian this morning to actually believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible is a historical book and the Bible is truth, and the life of Jesus is well documented. And there are many people here today who were blind, but now they can see. And on the evidence of that should be enough for you to put your faith and trust in Jesus. So what was the application to the first readers of John's Gospel, and how can we apply this chapter to our lives here at Osaka International Church? Well, in verses 39 to 41, Jesus is very clear how he intends his readers understand the miracle or the sign and the interviews to be interpreted. First of all, the miracle of giving sight to the man born blind is clear evidence that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah prophesied through Isaiah. In other words, the people at that time had to believe that, yes, this was Jesus, this was the long-awaited Messiah that the Old Testament prophesied. And the work of Jesus as the light of the world is both to give sight to the blind and to blind those people who reject the light of the world, but they think that they have spiritual sight. In other words, John is quite convinced that when people reject Jesus, then they are blinded. Their blindness will remain. But those who come to Jesus, they will be able to see spiritually. And the people of that day were shocked to discover that God's historical people, the Jewish nation, had mainly rejected his son and become hostile to those who believe in Jesus as God's son. That's quite a shocking thing, isn't it? That they reject their Messiah. And the only qualification required for sight to be given is recognition of blindness. If you know that you are a sinner before God and you recognize that, then you're on the right road to receiving salvation for Jesus. But if you say, I'm all right, I don't need Jesus, there's nothing wrong with me, then you will remain blind. For those who think they can see, there is no hope. But for those who want to see, who want to believe in Jesus and come to Jesus, they will receive that miracle of the new birth. They will be able to see spiritually. And that is the application that's clear for the people that John was writing to. What about us today here in this building? If we are a Christian, we should fully understand that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah who is prophesied in the Old Testament. God has no other rescue plan for mankind. It's only Jesus. There's nobody else coming. Jesus is the one. Jesus has come. He's died on the cross for our sins. He was raised from the dead. He's in heaven. And through his Holy Spirit, he's working in this world through his people, presenting the message of Jesus, the Messiah. So there's no other message. It's quite simple. Jesus is the Son of God. And we need to also understand that as the light of the world, Jesus had a twofold ministry. He opens the eyes of the blind and he blinds those who are hostile to him. Jesus will open the eyes of the blind even when people are hostile towards Christianity. So God is able to work miracles in situations where you wouldn't expect him to work miracles. We must not be surprised that people are hostile to people who believe in Jesus. Christians today are the most persecuted people on this earth. The religion of Islam persecutes and kills Christians all over the world. However, some Muslims are becoming Christians, and Jesus is giving them spiritual sight. Sadly, some are being killed for their faith, and they go to be with Jesus sooner than they thought. But let's be encouraged today that Jesus knows the hearts of all people, and he is able to save those who come to him and believe in him. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you can come to Jesus, you can come to Jesus today, and you can believe in him, and you can have salvation, and you can have spiritual sight. Whatever your faith or your religion or your race, it doesn't matter. No qualifications are required. This means he's able to save you today if you'll come to him and acknowledge your blindness. But if you can say, I can see, I don't need Jesus, then you will remain blind. So you have an opportunity today to come to Jesus and have your blindness removed. If you don't know Jesus today, come to him and you will receive spiritual sight. And he will bring you out of the darkness of sin into his marvelous light. This will change your life, not just for here, but for all eternity. Let's pray about that. Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that when Jesus was on this earth, he was real. He did open the eyes of this blind man, but the most important thing was not physical sight for this blind man, but spiritual sight, that he believed in Jesus as the Son of God. And Father, we pray today that you will come by the power of your Holy Spirit and that you will impress upon our hearts and our minds that Jesus is the only one that can open the eyes of spiritually blind people. Jesus is the only answer to life. Jesus is the only answer for salvation. And we lift Jesus up and we proclaim Jesus, and it's all about Jesus. It's not about OIC, it's not about the preacher, it's not about religion, it's about Jesus. And we pray, Father, that Jesus today might do a miracle of opening spiritually blind eyes, and that people might put their faith and trust in him, because he is the only answer, and we commit that message into our hearts. Open our hearts, Lord, that we might be thankful if our eyes have been opened spiritually and that we can see and we rejoice in our Saviour. But if we don't know him yet, Lord, may you impress upon us that Jesus is working while there is still light. If we keep refusing him, maybe light will not come to us. So maybe now is the day of salvation. Maybe now is the time that we've got to put our faith and trust in Jesus. In his name's sake and for his glory, we ask it. Amen.